So now I would like to introduce you guys to Ariel Jones. Ariel, say your name, what hospital you work at, what floor?
My name's Ariel Jones from Baltimore, Maryland. I work at LifeBridge Health, and I am a new graduate nurse on a telemetry observation unit.
Okay. So, you've been working at this hospital while you were a CNA, correct?
I actually just transitioned into this hospital after leaving my CNA position.
Okay. So, transitioning into this position amidst the COVID outbreak, what is your mindset?
I was very nervous about how everything was going to go on this unit. Our unit, it works directly with the ED, so we get all that overflow of people who are coming to the ED, and, you know, the ED's getting hit hard right now during the whole COVID-19 outbreak, so I was pretty worried about, am I going to have a lot of COVID patients? Is the unit going to be overfilled? Are we going to have enough nurses? Because I came and I was working on that unit for about 3 months to finish some clinical hours for school. So I was just wondering what the aftermath was going to be like after COVID-19 hit coming to back to this unit.
Now, in Baltimore, that's a very Black populated area. A lot of the, obviously, all the heavily Black and poor populated areas, Black and brown communities have been hit hard. What does it look like in your hospital?
Right now, Sinai actually is one of the areas in Baltimore, the 21215 area code, where we're getting hit the hardest for having COVID out in Baltimore City. So actually, the hospital unit that I work on is okay, but the other hospital units like the ED and the ICU, they're getting slammed. And it's crazy because another thing, you know, I'm sure everybody's heard of like code blues and rapids and stuff before just from watching TV. So now we have code C.
Well, explain to like what a code blue is to the listeners and then explain what now a code C is.
So a code blue is pretty much somebody has an airway issue where you have a special team of people who come directly to that unit and they help you breathe. So now that we have COVID helping people breathe, you know, you run the chance of breathing in particles amongst helping another individual breathe on their own. Mm. So whenever we have a COVID patient who is positive for COVID who also needs help breathing, instead of doing code blues, it's now code Cs. And I feel like that's something that's going to be baseline for hospitals as we move post-COVID lifestyle.
Mm, okay, so as a new graduate, are you scared?
I am scared, actually. Every day I don't know if, you know, somebody that I have as a patient who's a PUI, that's a person under investigation.
We tested like, you. Sounds like they're in jail.
Pretty much. We tested you. We don't know if you have it or not. So we're just going to act like you have it, and we're going to come at you full gear, geared up, ready to go. So it is nerve-wracking knowing, like, hey, I got to go in this room with an individual who I don't even know has COVID or not. Like, I'm more at ease knowing for a fact that they have it than it's being a big question mark when you go in there and give them patient care every day.
So I've talked to other nurses, and obviously I'm watching the news and I'm reporting on the news, so I see these stories. Do you feel like your hospital has your back? Do you feel like you guys are being adequately protected through these procedures in regards to PPE and things of that nature?
As of right now, I can say my hospital, LifeBridge Health has been doing a good job with making sure we have the supplies we need. We do have our N95s, we have gowns, we have the face shields, we have all of those supplies. But, you know, the only thing that is changing all the time is how long are we going to have N95s and what's going to be the rule for reusing them. So that's where, as we move further and further, I'm nervous about what's going to happen at my hospital. Because right now it's a 3-day usage type of thing, get a new one. Which could be scary, because traditionally it's a single-use type of mask.
Do you remember what it was like at this hospital? Well, were you at this hospital when the outbreak first happened?
No.
Do you remember what it was like at the hospital you were working at?
As far as?
Like when the outbreak happened, like when it first started, like in the beginning of March, middle of March, when it first happened.
It was just a whole lot of changes, regulations being changed on a daily basis about how we're going to, one, ration out supplies, and then also what we're going to do as far as visitors go. Like, are we going to completely cancel visitors? Nobody can come into the hospital. Before all of that, you know, when it first hit, that is what was the biggest thing. Just how are we going to go about our day-to-day life, and how are we going to keep the staff up to breast about what's new and what's changing? But it hasn't been a hysterical type of situation where, you know, we've been totally worried about what's happening next so far. And I haven't had that at either hospital I've been at.
What's been the major difference in experience, at least with these COVID procedures, between the last hospital and this one?
This hospital, just the changes with the mask, they went from 2 weeks ago getting, you know, upset when they would see people using excess masks to now everybody needs to have a mask as soon as they hit the unit. Everybody needs to have a mask as soon as they hit the hospital floor. Like, I mean, hit the hospital door. They're giving out masks every single day now.
Hmm. I spoke to a nurse who worked, who works in the Delaware area, who had contracted COVID. And I started to talk to her about the, or she started to speak to me rather about the camaraderie and the way the nurses have kind of come together around this. Is that same type of thing happening in Baltimore at your hospital?
Oh, absolutely, especially on our unit. Like, the camaraderie is what gets us through the day. Like, if you came onto a unit and you have PUIs, COVID patients, and you have an environment where nobody's nice to each other, nobody has each other's back, it's not a great environment, you're going to be miserable. Plus, adding COVID in the mix, like, you're probably going to be one of those nurses that end up burnt out hating your job.
Mm.
But having a strong, solid team, like, on the unit I have, you know, we make light of our situation. Nobody likes it. Mm-hmm. But it's also something we can't change. So we just try to have each other's backs, pick each other when we're up, when we're down, and we keep laughing. Laughing is the best medicine beyond all the crazy stuff that goes on in this world.
That's interesting to hear. What, like, where is the room? And I mean, obviously, to break the fourth wall for a minute, we're related. You're my younger first cousin. Obviously, we our family makes jokes about everything, but I'm curious to know. Where are the spots, or, like, obviously, you know, insider jokes are insider jokes, and, you know, keep those things private. But, like, what are, how do you even find laughter or levity in these moments where it's so serious, where everybody is presumed to be, like, everyone's on 10 all the time?
Right. Believe it or not, yo, like, TikTok is in everybody's life right now, from young to old. And being at work, you're talking work-related, right?
Like, yes, at work, yeah.
Yeah, like, at work, watching these old ladies trying to do baby something, ooh, like, offbeat, can't even get the shimmy on count, but everybody's just so happy to be doing something that's not related to COVID.
Right.
So it's like in those moments when they're like getting their TikToks together, and I don't know if you know, like, the Filipinos run the world of nursing. Like, I don't know.
I didn't know that.
Yo, I don't.
I mean, because in New York, it's a lot of West Indians, like the Haitians, Jamaicans.
That's true. Okay, so out here in, like, Maryland, and even, like, some of the nationwide, you know, memes people make, like, Filipinos are really big in the world of RN. So it's just so funny watching them come and, like, you know, they don't really know these American songs and things like that. And them just trying to put their Filipino swag in the mix. It's just a good time. Because I have a lot of Filipinos who work on my unit. So, beyond that, that's just what it is. Social media, like, believe it or not, that TikTok, it got everybody connected. It's getting everybody up, everybody moving, everybody laughing.
Does this at all make you, or has it ever made you second guess or rethink your decision to become a nurse?
That's crazy you asked me that, because December 12th when I graduated, if I would have known 3 months later it was about to be this deadly virus out, I wouldn't have been so excited in that graduation seat. But nonetheless, I'm here now. I already signed up. I'm on the contract. And it honestly feels good to still be out here helping people, even with this going on.
I know in New York, up in Harlem, I know at 7 p.m. when the nurses are either, if I'm correct, when they're leaving shift or changing shift or whatever the case may be, I know there's like a lot of people. I think within like social distancing parameters, but like people are like clapping for them and having like this big celebration, and people are, even this episode, I call it Meet the Superheroes. Like, you guys are really on the front lines and risking your lives to help others. Do you feel like a superhero? Do you feel that, is the public celebrating you guys like that down there?
They are.
Okay.
Especially the free meals every day. I'm seeing something different. Nurses, show your bed. I'm pulling up everywhere. Like, oh, just
so
I'm getting my meals. But how I feel like it's unfortunate that it took a situation like this for nurses to really be recognized for all the hard work that they put in on a daily basis. You know, nurses are kind of like, we're not at the bottom of the totem pole, but we're at the bottom of the chain of command. Like, here's all the rules, here's all the regulations. Now, nurses, you know, you got to follow them out. But we still do it at our best of our abilities and what's best for our patients. But it still sucks that, you know, it took a situation like this to really get the hard-earned recognition that I believe nurses across the world deserve.
And when you say that, do you mean internally, like amongst doctors and things of that nature, are you talking about just all encompassing, like internally and externally?
Specifically nurses, but you know, the whole healthcare infrastructure, all the clinical staff, we do work hand in hand to make, you know, patient care the best that we can make it, but we still not making the same money as doctors, you know what I mean? So it's like we do a lot. And I just feel like, you know, I'm great that nurses are finally getting their recognition, honestly.
Well, so am I. I want to say, let me ask you this. Are you ever at times, or have you ever throughout this whole thing, is it ever taxing, like taking this home? And you know, obviously we're family, so I know like you're quarantined in the basement and like you can't see your mother, your sister, like as frequently or however, like, is that rough? Is that Wayne? Are you ever feeling alone?
It's kind of annoying because it's like, I feel good, I feel fine. But at the same time, you know, I feel good, I feel fine, but I could also be a carrier. So just like knowing how scared my mom is, like, you know, I don't feel comfortable being upstairs for too long, or when I talk to her, like, let me cover my mouth so she don't breathe in anything I may have forgot. But being in the basement, that doesn't bother me so much as not sleeping on my own bed. Just
the nurses are going through it.
Right. Quarantined to your basement on an air mattress. I like when I came home and my mom had it all blown up for me and everything, all looking comfortable, I still was like, this like a cot. Where's my two cots?
Think about like, that. You graduated nursing school to sleep on an air bed.
Right. Because COVID want to be taking over everything.
And before I let you go, is there anything, any misconceptions that you're seeing out there that people may have that, you know, might need a change so they could be a little safer?
Misconceptions. People definitely, they need to take it more serious with the congregating together. Don't congregate together. Like I said, people think they don't have it, but they really do. And it takes one person to infect 10 people. It only takes one. So I feel like that needs to be taken more serious. And I feel like Florida then left the quarantine against medical advice. We need to X them off the 50 states of America, because right now I'm not messing with them. I feel like, you know, situations like that, people, like the nurses who are on the front line, y'all just laughing in our face. Like, we out here risking our lives where y'all could be on the beach right now. Terrible, but
You know what? Let me ask you this before you leave. Do you ever see it, you know, from having the medical insight that you have and being inside, you know, the hospitals and things of that nature? What does the world look like after this?
I'm curious to see what it's going to look like myself. I just said this today. I was like, I really want to know what post-COVID life is going to be like. I feel like it's going to take a while for us to get up running big groups and festivals like we're used to. But I do think there's going to be some major changes, and especially the way the government runs things. Mm. Have to be.
Well, Ariel, I appreciate you. I want to say thank you on behalf of everyone else out here. Thank you for the job you continue to do and put your life on the line. And this might be a little nepotism or unprofessional, but I love you.
Love you too, always.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Holla.